Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right, but not without our technical difficulties. Lord, I mean, our connection has been ate up like a soup sandwich, is what I like to say. And so, Copper, grab that microphone there.
Yes.
Can you go ahead and say all of Copper's Corner again? Because I didn't hear any of it.
Oh, Lord. When I turned around and saw you were gone, I had a panic moment there.
Well, you know, you literally started off and you said, hey, everybody, happy hump day. And then you started talking about, and I don't know, and it was it a good one? I assume it was a very good segment is what I'm assuming.
Well, thank you. Basically,
go ahead and just tell me. It was your best one ever, wasn't it?
That's sure,
it, I'm sure it was.
That's right.
Well, folks, we apologize because here's what we have to do. Every once in a while when the connection drops through whatever reason, we don't know why. Sometimes, you know, we'll go for weeks without having a problem. Then we'll have multiple in one show. We use a technology that allows the linkage to take effect. And every once in a while, technology fails us. And so through no fault of Copper's or myself, we just like drop it and we go, well, what do you do? And I certainly couldn't interrupt her in the middle of her reading Copper's Corner. So we had to wait till that was over with and then come back. So anyway, we're back. Yay. Hey, I am moving to number three in the Triple Dipper. Number three in the Triple Dipper, I'm calling this, so who's in charge of education? Really? I mean, who is in charge of education? I thought that the way it worked was you have an elected school board at the local level and the state level, and they set policy, and they determine when you take vacations, and they set pay, and they do all the things necessary. And when you hire on, depending upon your locality, you might interview with the local, but usually it's going to wind up being, I say local school, but usually it's going to wind up being that your superintendent and the HR staff there at the central office for each district are going to wind up doing the hiring. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? I mean, last I checked, right? Well, it depends on where you live, apparently, because what we're seeing right now is the unions are the ones who really control education in some places. Absolutely. And by the way, don't think for a second that that's not the way it's been in Alabama. Now, I'll be honest with you. I am of the firm belief, not the rank and file, because there's a lot of good people in education. I've got family members. My daughter-in-law is a public school teacher. But I've got literally no love whatsoever for the teachers' unions, period, to include the AEA right here in Alabama. Some of y'all are going to disagree with me, but I used to say, and I still believe, that is one of the most evil organizations that ever graced our state. And they used to control state politics like you would not believe. Think about it. Back when I was a kid, I didn't have any idea why spring break was called AEA week. Why was that? It was because the teachers' union set the time frames for AEA to have a few days off. I mean, they controlled everything. Well, they don't control it anymore. They still have influence, though, and perhaps maybe some would recognize that they're beginning to gain a more rising influence in our state legislature. But what we're seeing right now is that literally around the nation, schools are closing not because of COVID, not because of school policy, not because the elected superintendents and or school board members said we need to stay closed. Some of them are just flat out shutting down and going to virtual because the teachers union took a vote. Saw that yesterday in Chicago. Well, listen, I've got some stuff on this, and we're going to play some clips. Copper, are you ready on all three of those clips? You good to go on those? Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Let me do this. I'm going to tell you, first of all, this is impacting our kids, not just their education, but it's really impacting their mental health. I got an article right here. This is a sobering article, and it comes from Daily Wire, but it quotes the New York Times. So Daily Wire dated yesterday. DailyWire.com, title of the article is, New York Times admits that America sacrificed children's well-being for the sake of adult safety in the name of COVID-19. God, that's not a sobering headline. So on Tuesday morning, the New York Times morning newsletter said that since the start of COVID-19's pandemic, Americans have accepted more harm to children in exchange for less harm to adults. Wow. And he says that is, of course, a true statement. And I agree with it. That admission left many conservatives frustrated for having warned of the damage that lockdowns were doing to kids for nearly 2 years, only to be met with ridicule and dismissive attitudes from the leftist media and politicians. Yes. Yes, that's true. And it goes on to say the article was written in the New York Times, or the piece was written by, a guy named David Leonhardt. He says, American children are starting 2022 in crisis. He says, I have long been aware the pandemic was upending children's lives, but until I spent time pulling together the data and reading the reports, I did not understand how alarming the situation had become. Folks, let me just tell you, what the data is showing, unfortunately, right now, is that the lockdowns and the other surrounding issues related to the pandemic, to include closing down schools, have left children not only behind in their education, but we're seeing a massive increase in mental health issues, to include adolescent suicides, gun violence, and other behavioral issues just in the last 2 years. That uptick is not because society just rocked along and it is a natural uptick. No, I believe it's directly attributed to the disruption to kids' lives. We're seeing right now that U.S. schools are closing again. Fox News had a story came out this morning. This particular story is also very sobering. It's also maddening. Shows that early estimates for 2020 show that more than 6,600 suicide deaths among kids ages 10 to 24, youth aged 10 to 24, according to the CDC. Emergency room visits for suicide attempts among adolescent girls rose by 51%. 51% during the pandemic. And among adolescent boys, it rose by 4%. I'm not sure what the disparity is there, but apparently it's had an adverse impact among young girls especially. Public schools in Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and other states have all delayed their reopenings. 3,200 schools are still closed this week, according to a public school opening tracker. It's like a flashback to 2021. I mean, it's like we're still back there. Randy Weingarten. Oh, there she is. Wow. President of the American Federation of Teachers, the largest teachers union in the United States, said in a Tuesday tweet that schools are making some very real logistical decisions. We know that kids do better in person, she says, but the spike is real, and we need adequate staff and the safety measures in place, including testing. Well, I got news. It's not often that I agree with President Biden, but I got to agree with what he said yesterday. What'd you do with all the money we sent you to get ready for this? Copper, you got clip one. I want to do clip one. Clip one, folks, is yesterday, President Biden speaking to the nation. It was a horrible speech. I couldn't hardly get through most of it because it was just driving me crazy. But he did say something that I completely agreed with, and here it is. Clip one. Go ahead and play it, Copper.
We have no reason to think at this point that Omicron is worse for children than previous variants. We know that our kids can be safe when in school, by the way. That's why I believe schools should remain open. We provided the states with $130 billion to specifically keep our students safe and schools open.
Well, where is that money? Despite President Biden's pleas, school districts across the country are returning to remote learning again, the move angering parents, and you can understand nationwide. Joining us now is the dad of six. He's in Michigan. His name is Ross Kinder, and grandparent of two in Ohio, Dolores Gray. Dolores, I'll start with you. Well, how did you find out the remote learning would be the thing your kids have to deal with?
Go ahead and pause it there, Copper.
And what's your reaction?
So, yeah, the president said himself yesterday, and I agree. I mean, listen, there's not very often that I will say I agree with President Biden, but on this I completely agree. Number one, keep the schools open because we know that's a safer place for our kids. It's a control measure, if nothing else. And then number two, since you billions of dollars, what the heck did you do with it? Because the billions of dollars were not there for you to prepare for the time, just prepare for the time that you might have to close again. They're there to prepare for the environment to be more conducive to staying open. Should have used some of that money to undermine the teachers' union authority is what I think. Well, so the delays right now, what we're seeing, come just at the same time as our U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, as well as the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and the Children's Hospital Association declared that there is what they call a national emergency or a crisis in child and adolescent mental health. That's big doings, y'all. What they're saying here is, the things that are happening right now are driving kids into a difficult position. Now, not everywhere, not always. I mean, there's some wonderful family environments. There's some opportunities for kids to have more family time. There's the opportunity for them to get more fresh air, hopefully. But think about this. If you've got a kid in an underprivileged environment, if you've got a kid in an abusive environment, if you've got a kid who already had learning disabilities, if you've got a kid who needs socialization, if you've got a kid that literally doesn't have enough food at the house and they ate better because they were at school, all these things go away when you shut down the schools, teachers union. They just do. Well, we're looking at a dire situation here. I say it's dire. I believe it's dire. Listen, I spent the first 10 years of my professional life out of college working with kids. 3.5 years in an adolescent treatment center working with troubled kids, deeply troubled kids. 7 years in full-time ministry working with kids. 10 years plus total. During that time, I also taught at a local school. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, I can imagine that this crisis they're talking about is legit. I can imagine there's good families. I can imagine there's kids that are doing fine. But nonetheless, I can imagine that what they're saying about the healthcare crisis is real. Well, let's do this. Copper, I'm going to skip forward to, I think, to clip, I said 3, but I think what I meant was clip 4. So tell you what, you go ahead and get clip 4. I've already had clip 3 played. So you go ahead and take that. I'll just tell you this, folks. As we talk about this being a healthcare issue, you got to recognize that what we're talking about is something that impacts the next generation. Are we raising up kids to live in fear? Are we raising up kids to be overcomers? Copper, you got clip 4? Okay, good to go. So listen, Dr. Carol Vidal did an interview where she talked about the fact that the pandemic school shutdowns have really created a dangerous effect on children's mental health. So clip 4, Copper, if you would, please. Let's play that.
Names are Dr. Carol Vidal, a child and adolescent psychiatrist, and Dr. Jennifer Reisman, a neuropsychologist who works with children with learning and physical disabilities. Doctors, thank you both for being with us. Dr. Vidal, let's talk about the toll. We have now, 2 years worth of evidence on this, and we've talked anecdotally, suicides, depression, learning loss. What's happening to our children?
We've seen as mental health professionals worsening in severity and also in the amount of need for mental health services. And part of the motivation for these piece was that we have seen a trend in Maryland public schools, at least, to close whenever there's a problem in the school, right? Whether it's a staff shortage or teachers being stressed or behavioral problems in children. And we saw during the pandemic that virtual learning caused a lot of problems in terms of not only academic development, but also mental health and even physical health with increased obesity. So by closing schools again, which we thought was obvious that it wasn't working, was just causing more of the same problems. And we were concerned about it. And basically what we were trying to say is that this is unsustainable. And as much as we can offer mental health services, we need some sort of prevention at the educational level where we offer some consistency for children.
Yeah, all right, stop it right there. So the reality is, you heard what she said, this is unsustainable. And we have to get to the point that we have created some consistency for our kids. All right, Copper, let's go ahead and take that short break we got to take right now, even though I feel like we've had more breaks than usual because of the technology issues. But nonetheless, we're going to take a short break. When I come back, folks, I want to tell you about how this has gone down in other places and what's happening with schools here in Alabama. Yeah, might want to know it, because I really do believe that we need to take charge of our schools. Don't let the teachers' unions drive the train on whether our kids get a real quality education. Number 50th in the nation. We got to do something ourselves too, right? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, before I go any further, I need to stop and just tell you real quickly about ZLA Solutions. You hear me talk about them all the time. I do know them personally. They are some of the best around at getting people back to work. I mean, literally. So as we were talking with Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth earlier about bills they might run in the legislature to help, you know, people get back to work. Well, one of the things you got to do is look for a job to be able to continue gaining unemployment compensation. Well, listen, part of that might be going to ZLAUSA.com and check out the jobs they got posted. And you may find one you really want because they've got great paying jobs listed all over the state right now that a lot of them have good benefits attached. But at the same time, if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, ZLAUSA.com. They can do all the recruiting, all the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, and get a workforce for you to fill the ranks and get you back up to speed as an employer. I'm just saying, ZLA Solutions, one of the best around right now for doing what they do in terms of getting people back to work and finding people to fill those ranks. Listen, check them out, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. You can also find a link to them on the rightsideradio.org website. Click on that and go right to them. All right, folks, listen, I'm going back to this section of the Triple Dipper that I've just titled, Who's in Charge of Education? So who's in charge of education? Well, right now, there are protocols going on. So luckily, Alabama is not one of those that is succumbing to the pressures to shut things down again. All right. And I hope it stays that way. Story right here off of CBS 42 right here in Alabama talks about some of the central Alabama schools. And it says, with cases continuing to rise in Alabama, several school districts have released their protocols. Dr. David Kimberlin, I thought this is an interesting statement. Dr. David Kimberlin of Children's of Alabama says the possibility of everyone catching the virus is likely. I mean, think about this. When I was in Afghanistan, I was worried to death about getting sick, and there was one Special Forces guy there that was had gotten there before me, and we're talking, and at one point he just looked at me and goes, by the way, you're going to get sick. Go ahead and accept it. It just made me feel better, to be honest with you, when I realized, you know what? I'm going to get sick, and I'm going to be fine. And folks, I can't diagnose herd immunity. I'm not qualified. But what else do you have to have herd immunity than what we've got? And yet they're shutting down schools. Well, here in Alabama, right now, Birmingham and Talladega City schools are both going to require masking for a while. Copper just put up a note for me. You're right. Huntsville City schools are going to go to remote learning tomorrow. Oh, remote learning. I did not know that. Copper, grab the mic. Huntsville City schools going to remote learning tomorrow.
That is what our caller just said. He didn't want to come on air, but yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to try and confirm that on air or online during the break. That's maddening. Huntsville City Schools has been one of the more scary-prone school districts around. They certainly not, you know, drawn a lot of love from me. But on top of that, too, I read you yesterday, the Alabama Department of Public Health is still going to stick with a 10-day school COVID quarantine, even though the CDC said 5. Yeah, and then Houston County School District said, forget y'all, we're doing 5. So it's all over the board, y'all. It's amazing. All over the board. Well, let me read you something that the CDC just put up. Story on Fox right now. I'm looking at it. It's sitting right here. So story on Fox. Title of it is, published in the last 2 hours, by the way, while we've been on the air, CDC sparks outrage with confusing updated COVID isolation guidance. Really? Yes. It's not like they've been known for their clarity so far. Here's what it says. All right. Let me just read you this. The updated guidance states that if the people currently in an isolation period want to take a rapid coronavirus test near the end of their 5-day isolation period, they can. However, they are not being advised to take the test. Huh? If they do decide to take the test and the results come back positive, they should continue isolating until 10 days after their symptoms start. What? If the test results are negative, individuals may end their isolation period but are advised to still wear a mask around others until reaching day 10. The guidance also recommends that people who are isolating avoid places where they can't wear a mask and not to eat around others until reaching day 10. Does anybody have any idea what that means? Does the CDC have any idea what that means? I mean, seriously? This is the guidance that's being taken and it's causing all the confusion, even in schools around around the area. Okay, Copper, what'd you just put up on the board? Read that to me real quick. What you got there?
So AL.com put out a list of schools that were closing and going to remote learning. It's actually just for tomorrow and some on Friday as well due to weather.
Due to weather?
Correct.
I can live with that. Yeah. Every kid loves a snow day. Every kid loves a snow day. Okay, so I'm glad to hear that. Well, not really glad, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, when we get back, I'm going to start laying out the teachers union. I'm going to start filleting the teachers union. You're welcome to call in if you want to chime in on this. 866-494-9866. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Right Side Radio, that's right, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, it's 4:36 p.m. I know that we are in the afternoon drive, they like to say. I think the afternoon drive really starts around 3. People picking up their kids from school and all that. But, you know, truly the rest of us that work till 5 o'clock, the go-home is really starting right about now. And so the traffic's picking up. Y'all be careful out there. And think about this. When you're going home, what are you doing for dinner? Or maybe in the morning on the way in, what are you doing for breakfast? Or maybe somewhere during the midday, you might want a bite of lunch. I'm just saying this. One of the situations or locations you might want to consider is Just Love Coffee Cafe. They got two choices for you, one on Hughes Road in Madison and the other on South Memorial Parkway. Just Love Coffee Cafe has got an amazing repertoire of coffee. You can imagine. They're called Just Love Coffee, right? They've got all the best roasts. They can grind the beans for you. They can make you a fresh, hot cup of flavored coffee. I like just a good cup of black coffee very often, but I love to get something like a hazelnut roast or something like that. All said and done, they've got all of that, but they've also got all the caramel macchiatos and the lattes and the espressos. And so, listen, check them out. But their food menu is also what they're known for. They got a crazy cool menu, like waffled sandwiches, like a club sandwich or a good salad or a wrap, or for that matter, maybe you like breakfast. They got waffles, they got omelets, they got all of it. Listen, just check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison and South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. It's going to be worth your time. All right, so going back to this segment that we're in right now, if you want to call in, you're welcome to 866-494-9866. We've talked about a variety of things today. Right now, I'm on the segment of the Triple Dipper that I call, Who's in Charge of Education? Well, so story just broke a minute ago, by the way. I heard it on the news. You probably did too. Hundreds of San Francisco teachers walked out today in protest over having to work during the pandemic. Well, how about this? Everybody else is having to work. What? You can't? So they walked out because it's scary. It's scary out there. Never mind the fact that the Omicron variant is deemed to be, while more contagious, has been far less threatening. Never mind the fact that I'm sure that all of them got their vaccination, because surely to goodness they did, because I imagine San Francisco probably even had a mandate. Well, they walked out. Looking at it right now, AL.com's got a story called Mountain Brook Schools Go Virtual, and others are putting in different types of protocols. I mean, this is an updated article. This came out yesterday afternoon, about the time the show was ending. It talks about the fact that many Alabama students are returning to the classroom from winter break. In the Birmingham metro area alone, six school districts, all within a 20-mile radius of each other, have announced different COVID policies. See? That's where we are. There's a complete absence of leadership. How about this? Hey, Governor Ivey, maybe as the head of the school board for the state of Alabama, you should issue some clear guidance as opposed to just letting Scott Harris continue to make it up as he goes along. Right now, we've got the CDC talking about 5-day restrictions, the Alabama Department of Public Health giving a 10-day restriction. Now, right now, Mountain Brook Schools went back to remote because they say their staffing is difficult because they have 40 employees tested positive. So they went remote this week. Vestavia Hills and Trustful, they went to a 10-day quarantine, but Homewood and Hoover are doing a optional masking, and Midfield City is doing a 5-day quarantine. I mean, it's all over the board, y'all, all over the board. Meanwhile, like I said, in other places, hundreds of San Francisco teachers walked out today. Well, in New York City, this is interesting. So in New York City, CNN is reporting. CNN. CNN is reporting that the new mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who, you know, who's been a little bit disappointing right off the bat because I thought he was going to come in and be the guy and start rolling back some of the mandates, and he hasn't. He's actually extended a few of them. But he did do this. He is bucking the teachers union in a big way, and they have no idea what to do about it. They've not had a mayor buck the teachers union since probably Giuliani was there. I think Bloomberg probably did some too, but Giuliani especially. Eric Adams started his tenure as New York City mayor by rejecting a request from the city's largest teachers union to temporarily move public schools to remote learning, capping off a frenetic, it says on CNN, a frenetic 72 hours of his administration. First 72 hours. So Adams has said, Mayor Adams has said, he is focused on keeping in-person education going for kids, right? Even in the face of, like, I'm talking real opposition from the teachers union. And it may be one of the clearest examples, this article says, of the fact that he's different than de Blasio. So I hope that's true. We need him to be different than de Blasio. And the teachers union rep says, we advised the new mayor that it would be safest to allow our school system to go remote temporarily until we could get a handle on the staffing challenges. And Adams, the new mayor, said, no, we're staying open. That's were his words. We're staying open. His words are this. He said, we're not sending an unclear message of what's going to happen day to day. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen day to day. We're staying open. Love that. Love that. That almost feels like leadership. I mean, I know he's a Democrat, but dang. He said further on in a speech about police action, he goes, this is not going to be a city of disorder. This is not going to be a city of violence. So I hope we're going to see some positive changes under him. But right now, the teachers union up there is fighting to go home. It's scary. They don't want to work. Gosh, why should we do that? I mean, we're not bold like everybody else. We're not bold like the accountants who went to work. We're not bold like the nurses who went to work. We're not bold like members of our military who stayed at work. We're not bold like everybody else who went to work. Chicago Teachers Union, Fox News reporting this morning. Chicago Teachers Union votes to return to remote learning. Okay, so what? They are the teachers union, right? They're not the school district. They're the teachers union. Well, guess what happened? They closed the schools because the teachers union voted. What? So who's in charge, really, of education in Chicago? Well, apparently it's not the school board. So you got right now, Chicago's teachers union, according to Fox News, January 5th, that's today, voted last night to return to remote learning amid a new surge in coronavirus cases. The vote was approved by 73% of the union's members, calling for no in-class learning until, quote, cases substantially subside. What does that even mean? Where do you need them to be? Hey, teachers union, do you have a metric? No, you just want to stay home and teach in your flannel pants and put on your Zoom call and pretend you're actually doing something. That would be awesome. The vote was approved by 73% of the union's members calling for no in-class learning until cases substantially subside, in quotes, or union leaders approve an agreement for safety protocols. Oh, okay. Okay, so basically it's union action is what it is. We don't want to work. You can't make us. Yep. Chicago School District, the article says, is the nation's third largest. Students in the district had just returned to classes on Monday. They did. They came to class, and then they were told overnight not to come back. What the heck? Chicago public school officials, you know, the ones who are actually supposed to make the decisions. Chicago public school officials had insisted on keeping schools open for in-person classes, saying that remote instruction during the pandemic has been disastrous for children's learning and mental health. They said that. They said that. They actually said that. It's real. So here's the teachers union. Hey, we're going to take a vote. You want to go to work tomorrow? I don't know. You want to go to work tomorrow? I don't know. Jimmy, you want to go to work tomorrow? Nah, man, I'm going to stay home. Yeah, me too. I'm going to teach PE by Zoom. How's that work? Okay, so Chicago public school officials had actually said to the teachers union, we got to stay open. Remote instruction has been disastrous for children's learning and mental health. They argued that point to the teachers union. What did they do? The teachers union then took a vote and 73% said, we don't want to go back to class. So the union, though, the article says, has characterized the vote as a return to remote instruction, but district leaders have called it a walkout. That's what it is. If you don't want to come to work and you say you can't make us, we're not coming to work, that's called a walkout. They're also calling it an illegal work stoppage. Well, that's where we are right now in Chicago. You got thousands and thousands and thousands of kids whose parents were told overnight, yeah, we don't care about your household. We don't care if you have to go to work tomorrow. We don't care if you don't have daycare worked out. We don't care if your kid's education is suffering. We don't care about your kid's mental health. We're a union, and we're going to tell you we're not coming to work tomorrow. How you like me now? Oh, by the way, I'm tenured, and you can't do a thing about it. Hey, make sure the paycheck keeps coming, state legislature. And oh, by the way, even though we're in some kind of a major deficit when it comes to our retirement planning, we know you're going to prop it up with public tax dollars. But then again, why should we care? Because we're the union, and we're not coming to work. Am I on a rant right now? Apparently I am. Well, this has had a great impact on parents. Copper, do you still have clip two? Are you good to go on clip two? Can you get that one? Tell me if you is. Copper is saying, yes, the high sign. Copper is ready on clip two. Well, let's do this. Short clip before I go to the break is Brian Kilmeade interviewing two parents. And I thought it was pretty significant. It was just this morning. It's talking about this very thing. Play clip two, Copper.
Connection, and that is, you know, and interaction is really good for students. Like I said, you know, when you go into the schools, they, in my opinion, only thing that they use that money for is for laptops. And, you know, I don't get, I didn't get free Wi-Fi from them, but that's the only thing that they use it for. And I think there should be a better plan in place, you know, just taking temperatures
And testing. If you want to do testing, yes. You should, every school should have it. There's enough money there. Ross, real yes. quick, that's what they, you would just tell me in the break, that's what they use the money for, to make home learning better, for laptops yes. and iPads, right, Ross? That's got to really frustrate you with your six, because you have to work from home too.
Yeah, I mean, I think they, one of the things that we are lacking from the public school administration here is transparency around the decisions that they're making when we're in school, when we're in Zoom school, and what are the numbers, what are the vaccination numbers, what are the infection numbers. We just don't know any of that, and so we're just left waiting for the next email to come to say, surprise, you have to figure out what you're going to do with your kids tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just not fair. It's not right. We have a lack of leadership all around, and I feel bad for the teachers, many of which want to go back, but they're hostage to the union. They can't get a job without joining the union, and now they got to listen to the union. So I don't want to lump teachers into this, the most dedicated, sometimes underpaid people in the country. But Ross and Dolores, thanks so much. We need the real-life stories and real-life yes. travails, because
yes, so,
we got to get our right voices heard.
Go ahead and stop thanks it right so there, much. Copper. The guy who was talking, the lady who was talking first is a grandmother who's raising her two grandchildren, and she is suddenly stuck with them not being able to go to school. Difficult enough for her, but luckily she's in a retirement position. However, the other guy, he was talking about the fact that he's the father of six kids, and all six of them will not be going back to school the next day, and he's got to figure out how to not only work with their education issues, but what's he going to do about work? So this is where we are, folks. Listen, Copper, go ahead and run us into that last break. We come back from that, we will wrap up this segment, wrap up the show, really. Man, it's been a full one. Lots of things happening out there, things we got to pay attention to, not the least of which is, what is this doing to our kids? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama. Phil Williams here, your host, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, go home now, folks. I mean, it's time. It's the traffic. I know you got to do it, but just be careful on the roads out there. But listen, as we wind up this section, I'm just going to tell you, we do need leadership. I agree with Brian Kilmeade's position on that last little clip we just played. It's a lack of leadership. Where's the leadership in this? Well, let me tell you something. So here's two articles that I'm going to wrap this thing up with. Wall Street Journal, dated today, January 5th. Title of it is Omicron School Disruptions Are Stressing Already Frayed Parents Again. Yeah, I agree. And he talks about the fact that for many parents, they thought that, you know, with school-aged children, they thought that they had already gotten past this whole quarantining, school closing phase. And now with Omicron, which is deemed to be maybe more contagious, but yet far less concerning, it doesn't matter. Apparently some schools are going to go do cancellations. They're going to manage remote learning. They got to figure out how to do a child care. And it's creating a lot of anxiety in parents, I can imagine. Like, what do you do? Do you swap out again? Honey, you go to work tomorrow. I'll go to work the next day. I'll call my boss. We'll figure it out. We got to hire a babysitter. Oh, no, the babysitter doesn't want to be here because the child's in quarantine. Now what do I do? Well, you know, one parent in this article from Wall Street Journal said she had just sent her 10-year-old and 7-year-old back to school on Monday, but can't help but wonder what's going to happen if the school has a protocol that says exposure requires them to go home and be quarantined. She says that she and her husband both work full time, so they're going to need child care help. Well, let me tell you one piece of leadership that I kind of admire. This is interesting. Townhall.com, dated yesterday. Arizona Governor Ducey, Republican Governor Doug Ducey, announced yesterday, that families could receive $7,000 as part of the launch of a new program designed to help families struggling with education barriers as a result of school closures. He literally says $7,000. There's going to be some income requirements, but he says $7,000. We're going to ensure continued access to in-person learning. Everyone agrees that schools should stay open. And with this announcement, we're making sure that parents and families have options if a school closes its doors and parents believe it's another one down the road best suited that is open. They can use this $7,000 to do what's necessary to get the best education for their kids. That's kind of cool. Goes on to say that it can also help them with things like child care and other things that they got to have in the issue of a school being closed. Who's in charge of education? It's not the CDC. No. And it's not the union. No, it's supposed to be the elected officials that were elected to be on the school boards. If you don't want to do your job, school board members, you know what? Just say so and resign from office. We'll find somebody who'll do it for you. And then how about this? Even President Biden, I agree with. Keep the schools open. We sent billions of dollars, all of us taxpayers. Whether we meant to or not, we have elected representatives who helped to send billions of dollars out to school districts all over the nation. Not so they could just prepare to be closed again, but so they could be prepared to stay open again. That's the deal. We didn't send them all those billions of dollars so they could figure out how best to be closed. We sent them billions of dollars so they could figure out how best to be open. All right, my friends. Sorry for the technological gaffes we had today, but it was still a good show. Be back with you again tomorrow, Thursday, 2 to 5. Right now, you got the great one, Mark Levin, coming up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, and we'll be right again tomorrow. See you then.